He's still in control. Even when we in our carnality and our pride and our arrogance think that we have control, ultimately, He is still in control. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to be here tonight. Amen. I thank the Lord for what He is doing. I feel a mighty stirring of the Spirit. There's a mighty stirring up of some spirits. That means that somebody somewhere is doing something right because the devil's getting mad and trying to interfere. So I'm encouraged and angered a little bit, or a whole lot maybe, with a righteous indignation against the enemy. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor asked me if I would teach tonight, and so here we go. You can be seated if you would like. I'm going to try to lighten this up as much as I possibly can. But I do feel the unction of the Holy Ghost tugging on me. So if it's all right, I'm just going to do my best to follow after the Lord. And in Jesus' name, some good things are going to happen tonight. Hallelujah. I want to talk to us tonight on this title, and then I'll begin to read some scriptures. I have a lot of scriptures tonight. Sister Mallory's going to try to keep up with me back there. So I'm going to talk to us tonight on this subject. It's time to shine. It's time to shine. Matthew chapter number 5, begin reading verse number 14. I would say I'd give you a moment to find it, but it's on the screen so you can look there. Now, before I get into this, I just need you to get with me, all right? I need you to get on board with what God's doing. I know you're tired. I'm tired too. Some of you got up earlier than I did. I'm aware of that. But I got up pretty early too. So y'all can lighten up. It's okay. I promise. It's going to be all right. God's already taking care of some needs in the house tonight. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 14. Jesus speaking here, He says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 1 would read, probably most of us in here could quote this passage of Scripture. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day." Now, I quite often find myself with any subject that I go to study going back to Genesis chapter 1. Because this is the beginning. This is the foundation of the earth and life as we know it. Everything that existed before this is eternity. And everything that exists after this will be eternity. Everything that existed before this is only God. And all I know of God, I find in His Word. So I have to look at every subject and every facet of this Word in the scope of Genesis chapter 1. Because He starts laying some ground rules. He starts establishing some things. And we see here that God created light. He spoke light into existence. And then He divided the light from the darkness. I don't think it's any mystery to any of us in the house tonight that we are living in a world that is consumed by darkness. I am amazed and appalled I was driving down the road just the other day in our neighborhood, and people are already putting out the Halloween decorations. And it seems like it's earlier now than it's ever been. I mean, I'm used to people putting up Christmas decorations in September, but not Halloween decorations 2 months in advance. And we live in a very dark world. We live in a world that is consumed by the supernatural. That's why they flock to rock and roll. It's satanic. It's demonic. I'm not trying to be evil and hard tonight. I'm just going to talk for a minute, all right? That's why they flock to certain series of novels and movies and television programs. They flock to this stuff because they're consumed and infatuated with the supernatural. But I find it very interesting that in the very beginning that God would create light, and then he would say, all right, here's light and here's darkness. And he would create separation and division. He would put a very clear line of demarcation and say, this is light and this is good. And this is darkness. This is not the general direction that we're going tonight, but as I began to pray this afternoon, I felt very, very strongly encouraged by the Lord to begin to talk about this for just a moment. There is a reason that the church is to shine bright. There is a reason that we are to understand the difference between light and darkness. There's a very good reason why the Word of God says, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. There's a reason he says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Because God intends not for us to be like the world in which we live. He says, be in the world, but not of the world. There's a reason, oh, come on, I need some help right now. There's a reason we don't allow some things into our home. There's a reason we don't listen to some things. There's a reason we don't watch some things. There's a reason we don't participate in some worldly activities, because God very clearly gives us understanding that we've got to draw a line between light and darkness. And what fellowship hath light with darkness? What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? I need somebody in the house to understand tonight. If you are a child of the king, and you claim to be a part of the kingdom of God, you better get a hold of this concept tonight, that you need to draw some lines in your life. You need to have some separation between you and the world. Oh, come on, I need somebody to help me tonight. We're going to slow down and teach in just a moment, but I just feel like I need to preach for a moment. There's some people, we're too busy toying with the things of the world. We're too busy trying to toe that line between light and darkness and say, well, I'm going to get as close as I can to the darkness but still be in the light. That's not how this thing works. Because light is gradual. Even if you've got a high beam spotlight, there's going to be a fringe around that light where the light begins to dim. Oh, come on, somebody. You can't hang out on the edge and expect to have the full light of truth in your life. God draws a line and he says, this is light and darkness. There's a very clear distinction here. That's why we dress the way we dress. I'm not here to teach or preach on standards of holiness and separation and all that. That's not my place tonight. Pastor can deal with that another time. Okay? But the Holy Ghost began to nudge me this afternoon and tell me there's some people who are trying to toe the line. And you're trying to get as close as you can, and light and darkness don't mix that way. Church, I love you, but it's time for us to get hold of it. It's time for us to understand we can't keep playing games with this thing. There's a heaven to gain and hell to shun. Moms and dads, it ain't the pastor's responsibility. Brother McLean, I'm going to echo your sermon here today. It's not the pastor's responsibility. It's not the youth pastor's responsibility. It's not the Sunday school teacher's responsibility. It's your responsibility as a parent to teach your children. It's your responsibility. Oh, I'm not trying to be pastor, get on pastor's business tonight, but let me just encourage somebody. It's your responsibility to get that child into the prayer room before service. If you expect them to grow and learn how to pray, it's your responsibility to get them in the prayer room. Get mad at me if you want to. I don't claim to have it all together, all right? I'll be the first to say that I struggle probably more than anybody. But let me tell you something. I got a mom and dad that didn't give me a choice. When I was big enough to sit up in the chair, Brother Alba, Dad said, you sit right there and you don't move. And I sat in that prayer room for an hour before every service, sometimes sitting there twiddling my thumbs, thinking, my God, I wish he would hurry up and finish praying. But I learned how to pray sitting in that prayer room. I learned how to pray listening to Mom and Dad. I learned how to pray. Mom would let me go sit on the men's side, but I had to sit over there where she could still kind of see me. And I could sit there and listen to the ladies pray on this side, and I'd listen to the men pray on this side. And I remember listening to Sister Jessie Alexander. I remember listening to Sister Morgan growing up. I remember listening to Bishop McLean, and I remember listening to Brother Melvin Gary, Brother Gene Gary, and Brother Hagen. I could go on and on. I remember hearing Sister Adcock and Grandma Gutierrez come in. And she hit the door of that prayer room, and I could still hear that old Spanish voice. Oh, my Jesus, I love you. And it wouldn't take long when she starts speaking in tongues. And she starts singing in tongues. Anybody remember that? And I remember sitting there many, many, many times sitting there bawling my eyes out thinking, I want to have a relationship with God like that. Mom and Dad, it's our responsibility. I got two little boys. It's my responsibility to raise them up and train them up in the way they should go. You know what? I've got to draw the line between light and darkness. I've got to teach them. No, we don't fellowship with darkness. We draw some lines. We understand who we are. God called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. It's not my place to try to fellowship with that. It's not my place, oh my God, to try to be like this whole world. Because God's put a higher calling on me. Now, before you start saying, well, Brother Long saying we're better than all those people out there. No, that's not what I'm saying. They just haven't been called out of darkness yet. That's why it's time for us to shine. Pastor told me I was supposed to teach about evangelism tonight. So this is it, all right? This is what God gave me. We've got to evangelize our city. And the only way that we can truly effectively do it is by them seeing the light of Jesus Christ in us. Because if you've got the light in you, when you walk in that workplace where there's darkness everywhere, the light of truth begins to shine forth. And everywhere you go, every person you come in contact with, the light of truth begins to touch their life. And it don't, oh, I'm getting way ahead of myself tonight, but it don't take long. And they're saying, I don't know what it is you've got, but I got to get it. I got to have what is it? What is it? Why are you always smiling? Why are you always so joyful? I've got to have whatever you have. Hallelujah. Jonah chapter number 4. We all know the story of Jonah. This story fascinates me. Several years ago, I began to do a study on this. And I've always wondered, really, what is the point of Jonah? What is the point of this book? I understand the man of God ran from the call of God. I get all of that. But I believe the point of this whole book is in Jonah chapter 4, verse number 11. Because Jesus, God, ends this whole book with a question. He's looking at Jonah and he said, hey, you had pity on the gourd. You had pity on all this stuff that didn't even really matter. And he says, and should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand? You know what that means? God's looking at Jonah saying, hey, why are you getting so upset that I'm going to spare some people who don't even know but what the difference is between their right hand and their left hand? In other words, they don't know the difference between right and wrong. God's looking down at Jonah and saying, you hypocrite. You're supposed to be one of my prophets. You're supposed to be one of my people. And here you are upset because I want to save some people that don't even know what right and wrong is. They're only living the way they've always lived. Our world is full of people who've never been shown the light of the truth. They don't know the difference between right and wrong. without getting too plain here tonight. Girls in the world don't know what it is to be pure. Boys in the world don't know what it is to be pure. They run around the world in public wearing nothing or wearing anything. Because they've never been taught this is right and this is wrong. We've got to be careful that we don't look down our noses at the world. That we don't look at them and say, well, we're better than they are. Don't they know they shouldn't be acting like that? Now, before I get too deep in some of this, let me just clarify something and let you know that I'm preaching and teaching myself tonight, okay? Because I'm guilty. I'm guilty of seeing the homosexual walk by and being disgusted. Oh, all you self-righteous people. I'm guilty of seeing that alternate lifestyle come in, and you can feel it. You're like, oh, hold on a minute. And you don't even want to say hi to them. You don't even want to smile. Because you're afraid they might think you're hitting on them. It's funny, but it's the truth. My wife and I went to a place of business. I'm not going to talk about where it was specifically. We went to a place of business back before Christmas last year. And we were confronted with that spirit. And when I say confronted, I mean confronted. And I remember walking out of that place so bumfuzzled and so much confusion in my mind, like, what in the world just happened? You know what the problem was? I wasn't prayed up enough. I didn't have enough light shining from me. Because light overcomes darkness. Light overcomes darkness. And if we'll get full of the light of Jesus Christ, everywhere we go, it doesn't matter what kind of spirit we encounter. It doesn't matter what we come up against. If we'll get full of the light of truth, when we walk in that place, those spirits will begin to subside and shut their mouth. They'll begin to shut down because they understand a greater power just walked in the room. And I am subject to that power. Oh, come on, somebody. We've got to understand. It's time for us to shine. It's not time for us to sit idly by. It's not time for us to relax. It's time for us to shine. Then Jesus said unto them, John chapter 12, verse 35, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk ye while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. This world, they don't even know where they're going. They're walking around blindly. They're walking around just like an old blind man. And I'm not here to be negative about those who have lost their sight. But they're walking around just like a blind individual who can't see their way. And they're fumbling through life, saying, what in the world's going on? I don't even know where to go. I don't know which way to turn. All I know is that my life is in turmoil, and I'm looking for some light. I'm looking for some light. Second Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I'm here to tell us tonight, it's time to stir up the gift that's in us. It's time for us to stir up the gift that's in us. It's time for us to get a hold of this thing and stir up the light and let it begin to shine. We can't sit around, church. There's no time to play games. We don't get a second chance at this thing. if we don't get it right the first time, we're not making it in the heavenly rapture. We've lost sight of that. Oh, here we go again. See, this all begins in the home. Men of God, if we can't be the light in our home, let me say this, because I can already hear the thoughts running through your minds. Well, my kids, I did the best I could with them. Okay, no, I'm not. If they're adults, they're adults, okay? They're going to make their own way. They're going to do their own thing. Once they reach adulthood, there's not much else you can do except for pray and fast and believe God didn't work. That's the facts, okay? But while our kids are young enough, dads, it's our responsibility to be the light. It's our responsibility to be concerned about everything they're getting involved in at school. It's our responsibility to be concerned about what they're bringing home from school. Well, so-and-so, my buddy gave me this toy. Oh, hold on, let's look at it. What is it? We've had people give our kids books. Popular books. My wife and I look at them and say, I just don't know about this one. We might as well just get rid of it. Say, oh, Brother Long, somebody gave you that. You're being ugly. No. There's some things I'm not going to allow in my house. You know why? Because I've got to be the light in my home. And if I can't be the light in my home, I'll never learn to be the light out there. We've got to stir up the gifts. We've got to stir up the gift. Isaiah 42, verse number 6, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and then that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee. You know why? Because he's called us to be a light. To open the blind eyes. That's not just talking about physically. That's talking about spiritually. Remember, they're stumbling around in darkness. They're blinded by darkness. And God's calling us to open those blinded eyes. For this, Romans chapter number 13, verse number 9. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. We got to put on the armor of light. We got to walk in this world with that armor and say, all right, darkness, come on. I know I've said this before, but the Apostle Paul writing about putting on the whole armor of God, he makes two different statements regarding the armor. He says, put on the armor of God. And then a few verses later, he says, wherefore, take unto yourself the whole armor of God. The first time when he says put on, he's just saying, to put it on like you get dressed in the morning. It's just a simple thing of putting it on. But the second time he uses it, he says, wherefore, take unto yourself. And what he's saying there in the original Greek meaning, it means to put on with the intent to use. In other words, I'm not just going to put it on and sit back and relax. I'm going to put it on and I'm going to go to war. We've got to put on the armor of light with the intent to put it to work. We've got to put this thing on every morning and get up and say, all right, God, clothe me with your light. because I want to be a light in this dark world. There's somebody that needs you today, and I want you to put me in contact with them. You know, oh, here we go. I'm going to preach to myself for a moment. I'm so busy. Not really. I am the world's worst about walking in the grocery store, going to get the few little things I need, and go check out and walk out and never say a word to anybody. I'm going to be real transparent, okay? When are we going to learn to walk through with our darkness detector out and say, all right, God, where is that individual? As you're putting tomatoes in the bag. Ma'am, sir, I'd like to invite you to church. You know God loves you. Oh, but they might think I'm some weirdo. Good. You are a weirdo. In fact, that's funny because we're at this verse right now, 1 Peter chapter 2. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. The apostle says, you're a little strange. I needed that. The apostle says, you're a little odd, so why are we concerned what they think about us? Why does it matter what they say about us? We're not living for them. We're living for God. Oh, let me take it a step further. Why do you care what so-and-so across the church thinks about when you get out and dance in the aisle? Why does it matter what they think when you go up to the altar because you had a rough day and you need to get a hold of God for yourself? Well, they might think I have some sin in my... Who cares what they think? You better go make it right with God. If they're worried about what kind of sin is your life, they're walking in darkness and they need to get a hold of the light. Oh, Jesus. I'm going to try to hurry. I got a few more pages. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which hath not obtained mercy, but now have... which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, by your good works, by your good works. What did he say? Let your light so shine before men that they should, that they may see your good works. John chapter number 8, verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So, how do we get the light? We got to follow him. We got to follow Jesus. Now, I hadn't planned to say this, Brother Alba. Here we go. Pray for me. Let me clarify this statement, because we understand that God has given us a shepherd, and ultimately he is responsible. He's going to answer to God for our souls, all those things. I get that. But the Bible says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We are to follow Jesus, not follow a man. Well, I guess I'm going to ruin a good message. I told Brother Al, he opened up with a scripture tonight. I told him when he came over there, I said, that's the same exact passage that God dealt with me about in the prayer room. I was sitting there saying, God, what's going on? What's the deal right now? And the Lord spoke to me and said, they're still looking for Uzziah. Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord seated upon the throne. I lifted up his train for the temple. Why are we still looking for Uzziah? Now, I'm not here to belittle anything the bishop did. He was my grandfather. And he was an incredible man, one of the most amazing men that ever walked in shoe leather. But let me just tell somebody tonight, and I'm going to get back to this outreach and witnessing stuff here in a minute, all right? But I got to do what I feel in the Holy Ghost. It's time for some of us to quit looking for Uzziah and understand that the prophet said, I saw also the Lord. Uzziah did a lot of good stuff. He did a lot of great things for the kingdom. And when he died, Isaiah said, I saw also the Lord. You know what some of our problem is? We're still looking around for Bishop. Where is he? Where is he? Where is he? I can't buy a new car unless he tells me it's okay. Oh, I feel y'all getting mad at me now. Oh, Jesus, help me. We got to quit looking for Uzziah and look for Jesus. Because God didn't call us to follow Bishop McLean. He didn't call us to follow Pastor Orla McLean. He called us to follow after him. We're supposed to be followers of Jesus Christ, not followers of some humanity. If we're doing that, we are creating idols out of humanity. Oh, and I'll tell you that both of those great, incredible men would say, no, follow after Jesus. Follow after Jesus. That's all that matters. In fact, God would look at Joseph. And he would say, Moses, my servant is dead. In other words, he's saying, Joshua, you got to understand, the old man's gone. You got to build your own legacy. You can't just keep trying to follow everything Moses did. You got to get your own relationship with me. You know how we get light in our life? We quit looking at the pastor and saying, well, I got to do every little thing he tells me. Oh, come on. Yeah, we should follow his example. We should obey when he says this is what God is saying to do. But we've got to understand. We've got to get it on our face and work on our own salvation with fear and trembling. We've got to find a prayer closet. We've got to learn to train up our children in the way they should go. We've got to learn to get to the house of God every time the doors are open. Oh, my God. We've got to learn to draw a line of separation between light and darkness so that we can be a light in this dark world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Some of us wouldn't be so confused if we quit trying to follow a man. We learn to follow after Jesus. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. I love the way this next verse is penned. He says, and the light shineth. Because it's a light that never stops. It's a perpetual light. The light shineth in the darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. I believe God gave me a little revelation in this. You believe what you want to, that's fine. I'm going to tell you what I feel like the Lord said. That word shineth is present tense. It's eternal. God is light. We understand that. And the darkness comprehended it not. In other words, Jesus walked on the earth and they couldn't comprehend the light. But I believe what John was pointing to when he penned these words, and maybe he didn't realize what he was pointing to. He was pointing to the day of Pentecost. Because all of a sudden, there was going to be some people gathered in an upper room that were going to comprehend the light. they were going to get a grip on this thing and say, oh, I understand now. That light shineth through me. I am the one to perpetuate the light of Christ. I'm going to skip some verses. Paul in Romans chapter 1, verse number 14. He says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. We've got to understand this passage, this verse of Scripture. What Paul is saying is not that he's not saying that they owe him something. He's saying that he owes them something. In other words, he's letting us know that it's not that we're some great, amazing people and the world owes us something because we're the chosen of God. No, that's not what Paul's saying. He's saying, I am a debtor to them to share the light of this gospel. I am indebted to them. Even though all they've done is beat me, even though all they've done is imprison me, I am indebted to this world. And it's my responsibility to tell them there is light that can shine in the midst of your darkness. You don't have to walk around and fumble through the darkness like a blind person. You can walk in the light. You can walk in the light. Church, we've got to understand that they don't owe us anything. We owe them everything. It's our responsibility. We should feel the weight of it every morning when we wake up. We should feel the weight of it every day that we live. It's our responsibility to reach out to this lost and dying world. It's our duty to let the light of the gospel shine through us. We've got to walk in the light. We've got to walk in the light. Jesus came, Matthew chapter number 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Oh, hold on a minute. What did Jesus command them? He commanded them to walk in the light. Church, Jesus, help me tonight. John chapter number 14, Sister Mallory, you don't have this verse. I'm sorry. Jesus speaking, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Church, we've got to get so consumed with the light that we can be like the apostles, that when they walk down the street, their shadow touching people would heal them. I know we've seen some miracles. I understand we send out prayer cloths and there's some great things happening. I'm not belittling any of that stuff. But we've got to get to the place. You know how the world's going to be drawn to this? It's through the supernatural. I believe there's two ways. Number one is the supernatural power. It's flowing through us, okay? And they're going to be drawn by our relationship with God and by our consistent walk with God, okay? But the result of our relationship and our walk with God and our example of Christianity is going to be that people are going to come to us when they have a need. You're going to be on the job and they're going to come to you and say, hey, I know you go to one of those Pentecostal churches, don't you? Would you please pray for me? I was just diagnosed with cancer. Sure, I'd be happy. Can I pray for you right now? Would it be all right if we just pray right now? Because we get so full of the light of the truth, the light of Jesus begins to shine through us, and we pray the prayer of faith, and God heals cancer right there. and they're going to say, oh, hold on, there's something different about that church. See, we've got to let the light shine through us, because greater works than these shall ye do. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. I'm closing. Sweetheart, if you'd like to just come play something, please. Anybody in here ever heard of an author, comedian, speaker named Andy Andrews? I know a few of us have. I've introduced some of you to him. I'm not going to go into the whole story, but he was, I believe, 16 years old, living under a bridge in Orange Beach, living under the pier. And he tells this story, and I don't know, he says this is true. It's a good story nonetheless. He tells a story of sitting under the pier in the darkness. The pier had some of those old vapor bulbs burning up above it. And one night he just crawled in his little hole to sleep. And all of a sudden he heard a voice just outside. And the voice said, hey son, come into the light. That's what we've got to do in our world. We've got to walk into the grocery store. We've got to walk into the mall. Tell them, come into the light. You don't have to live in the darkness. You don't have to stay there. Because there's a glorious light of truth that can shine into your life and can begin to open up the windows of your soul. Oh, come on, church. I wish we could all catch a hold of this. I'm preaching to myself tonight. We've got to understand it's our responsibility to tell them, come into the light. Let's all stand tonight. I don't really know what to do to close out this service. I may just ask you to bow your heads and pray, and I'll just leave you to pray however you feel. But I believe that God's dealing with us tonight. God's dealing with someone's heart in this house. You've been complacent in your relationship with God. You've been saying, well, it's okay for me just to coast along. But let me tell somebody tonight, there's someone who's depending on you to shine the light of the truth into their life. They are walking in darkness, and every day they go to work, and they say, well, I hear them talking about going to church, and they say they're different than everybody else, and they look a little different on the outside, but there's no light shining from them, and I need some light to shine in my darkness. Church, it's time to shine. If it's ever been time to shine, the time is now. The time is now. Let's be lights in this dark world and shine for the glory of God. If you would just bow your heads and begin to pray. If you want to come to an altar, that's fine with me. Whatever you feel like you want to do, Lord bless you tonight.